Welcome, everyone. It's another episode of the Comics Claptrap, and we're here with Tin. He's eating a ham sandwich that Ken prepared specially for him.
I just finished it.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Yeah, so now he won't be eating anything during the podcast, and then we have...
Because I won't have anything to drink.
And I want a drink of water.
And our show producer, Finn, is here, just making sure that we keep our cool.
Yeah. We're discussing Halloween costume ideas for him.
And Josh is on the line from Berkeley.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, buddy.
All the way over in Berkeley. Hey, buddy. What is the costume idea?
Hey, buddy, what is Link's costume this year?
I don't know yet.
I can't believe you parents are thinking about that already. On Facebook, I'm just like, all my friends that have kids are already like...
You have to. It's coming up.
It's like a month from now.
But, you know, you don't have time to do
what?
It. Like,
I
already have
four seances.
Is it? Halloween is about the same time as Ape, right?
I don't know what Ape is.
No,
Ape is the end Halloween of... about the same time.
No, Ape is in the beginning of October,
man.
October 4th through the 5th. And Halloween is the last day of October.
Wow. Is it October, then December?
Come on, stop it. You're a teacher.
Is there number?
All right, let's go.
Is Ape next month?
October, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You gotta get ready. You gotta do your...
I don't even have a table
You gotta
table
do
yet.
Like a mini... What do you mean you don't have a table?
I don't have a table. Gosh. This is the first year I think I just dropped the ball. I'm hoping First Second can pull me out of it again this time.
Well, what about Brianna? You're usually with Brianna.
Yeah, I know. Usually we always drop the ball and then we realize it and then we call First Second and I get Gene to get us a table.
Jason is
a divided guest, but he's
a guest and he's with
Mark Punk. And Gene.
Yeah. Well, I can't.
Who's
in there?
Oh, man. It's going to be troublesome if I can't get a table, you guys.
Why? Because you can't sell your 8 copies of whatever debut
well,
mini comic
I don't
eight.
Have anything, so.
Yeah, so.
But.
I'm going to be at 8.
What? You have a table?
Well, I'm tabling, but I'm also repping for Koyama Press because Renee French is debuting her book, Baby Bjornstrand. Uh-huh. The West Coast debut.
Baby?
She's debuting SBX, but the baby.
Can I have half the table?
A baby?
You can have, like, a corner of the table.
Go.
Because
you
I didn't
Josh?
Volunteer, Josh, because Tin takes over the table. So
yeah, I know.
Josh,
and then Renee
you,
and Tin
do
together.
Do you have a table?
Renee and Tin together.
No, I don't have a table.
Oh, I think Josh could hang out with at our table. You can hang out.
I'm going to get the other corner.
What a jerk.
West
she just
Coast,
offered
East
you
Coast.
One.
Because Josh is low maintenance. Gosh.
So spoiler alert, you guys. I was an Ignatz judge this year.
Oh, I know. It's not a spoiler, though.
Yeah.
Everyone
well, not
knows.
Anymore. But
so did you get any, like, flack for that?
Flack for what?
Like, with the choices you made, or, like, Tin, who has a history on the show for knocking the Ignatz judging?
Well, you know, I'm still very critical of it, but after it, I came through with a couple of understanding, and I have to say, I'm going to admit it right on the show here, that I was wrong about a couple points.
What?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, I remember someone was telling me the other day, I think it was that David guy, David, what's his name? David
King.
King was telling me, or someone was saying that I was very critical about the fact that, you know, there were only like 4 male judges, male white judges, and I was really harping on that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm realizing that it really, you know, you want diversity in the judging, but it doesn't really matter. Race and gender doesn't necessarily matter that much. I think what matters more is the diversity of like content people that are into. You know, there are people that kind of get stuck in a certain type of comics that they like,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you get 5 people that are all like in that same group of people,
mm-hmm.
then you'll get like identical kind of
and usually they're not like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't gotten back and checked it out, but definitely my group this year
was
not
pretty
like that. I
diverse.
Mean, I was
you
like
Austin English.
Austin and I are probably the two most like different
your extremes,
opinions on comics.
Uh-huh.
And then you had
Dario Io.
I don't even know who Dario Io is. And then we had Melissa Mendez, who I don't know
Melissa
who she
Mendes,
is.
Melissa Mendez, she does the Lou comics. She does the mini comics.
Is she part of Oily or something like
and
that?
She's,
yeah. And then we also had another lady that I don't know at all. So, I mean, I thought that was pretty good in that way.
How does it work when you are the only judge who likes a book, or like your number one choice,
it's
like you
weird,
think this book is great?
So that's the weird part of the
yeah,
process.
Yeah,
because
I realized
that a couple years before you did. There's a couple weird things about.
Well, I think what it is that you number each book, each category 1 to 3,
yeah,
like
you
1, 2, 3, and then your top book you get like a certain amount of points. So let's say the top book gets 5 points, and then the second book gets 3 points, and the last book gets 1 point. And then they total them all up. I honestly could tell you that I think if you put the one you want for the first or second choices, or the first choice, it's probably going to get in there. Like if I was like, even if it was some obscure book that nobody chooses, let's say I pick like Rena's book, and I put that as my number one for best album, that's probably going to.
Right.
Be nominated.
Tip the scales.
Yeah.
So if nobody else nominated for that,
yeah, and
it
I nominated
still,
as number one,
it'll
probably get.
I guess that kind of makes sense. If your number one book gets like a big amount of points, and everybody has a different number one book, it kind of makes sense that everybody's number one book.
Totally.
Yeah.
That is kind of makes it a little bit subjective because mm-hmm. basically anybody could be like,
yeah.
I really want this one,
and there
you know,
have
no
been,
matter what it is.
And there have been some years that
yeah,
that
where it's just like comes out of nowhere. You're just like, what is this book? So I mean, I think that's a good point. And I honestly, you know, even when the one of the things is when the nominations come out, you can basically look at the nomination and basically almost trace back who voted for that, you know, just based on who the judges are and who
but
are the people that got nominated.
Seriously, when you nominated, say, if you did nominate Sasha Mardew's book number uh-huh. one, it was because of merit, not because you were my bro, right?
But yeah. No, I mean, I honestly can say that I read all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you. The problem is, the big problem with Ignatz is,
oh God,
you get so many books.
You do.
It is
hey,
like
we talked about this like. On every previous episode,
yeah,
of this
it is.
Podcast,
no,
can we not?
But you get tons of books, and you're supposed to read all. Of
yeah,
them
but and... the problem is not that you get so many shit, bad books, but the problem really is that you get a lot of really good books, but in the same category.
That's
so you're just like, I like 8 of these books that would be under best graphic yeah. album, or 8 of these books that would be like. Best mini, so like you have to eliminate a lot of books that you really love mm-hmm. just because you think that these books might be better, you know what I mean? And I'm actually really happy, you're right, I'm actually really happy with the nominations, and I was actually really surprised that I discovered things, people, and stories that I never thought of.
Man, you know, you can still teach this old dog new
yeah,
tricks.
Yeah, like that. I was like, usually I'm just like,
Josh.
If you're a youngin doing yeah. minis right now, I don't like your stuff. But there was a few guys that I was like, whoa, this guy is pretty good, you know?
Do you think we have fans of this podcast who are just excited to hear more Ignatz voting talk every episode?
Well, this is the first. I know. I guess I'm not nominating him next.
Well, that's
funny. We're so badass that we like talk trash about our own show.
Yeah.
On our show.
Yeah, I know. Josh. I am going to. I want to nominate myself again because I really want to
okay,
do it again.
Because you can't do it again.
I can't do it again?
No, you can't.
Oh, well, I'm going to try anyways. What are they going to do?
Although they should have, like, something like statute of limitations.
Yeah, you can only do
so
many times. Well, Josh, you're going to do it again next year, and then we can talk about it again next year on the Clap Chat.
Okay.
Then we can talk about, how your judging experience.
What a jerk.
Dang.
Hey, bro, did you read any comics then?
I read a couple.
Get some comics to bring to the table?
Sure.
What you got?
You were talking about Uncivilized, and you were talking about some older stuff, but they actually just put out a new wave of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Collection of Gabrielle Bell's mostly diary comics. I guess
okay.
all diary comics.
Another collection?
Yeah, this is the second one.
Okay.
Called Truth is Fragmentary.
Okay.
Which I read and I liked a lot.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Does this one, does this one that have a location? Is that why they didn't? I mean, because she had one that was like New York stories.
Right. This one is actually a lot of traveling. Like, this is, I guess, a year in her life or a few years in her life when she went to a lot of comic shows in Europe and other places. Like, she went to Colombia and Norway and Switzerland and France and Sweden. So there's a lot of travel in it. So, and then I also got from Uncivilized, kind of in the same, they do their books in seasons, I guess. So
yeah.
In the same season is a...
So fancy.
Yes. A collection of two stories by Sam Alden called It Never Happened Again.
Uh-huh, I saw that.
Yeah, and I haven't actually read this one yet. But it looks good, and some of it I believe I've seen before online.
Yeah, that's on his Tumblr. Is that the one?
Yeah, yeah.
About the brother and the sister, right?
I don't know.
There's two Sams that are kind of popular right now, right? Sam Alden and then another, Sam Spina.
Oh, Spina. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I get them all confused. I forget. And Sam Heady. Mm-hmm. I get them all confused. I have
no idea. Way too many Sams.
They all kind of draw the same, too. I have no idea what they I don't know. But I did like Sam Alden's work. I did nominate it for something.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sam Spina, too. I think I've nominated both of them because I had no idea who, you know, I couldn't tell each apart.
Oh, well, they're probably happy to hear that.
They're pretty different, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But their names are Sam, you guys.
They are.
The name is Sam.
It's true. So that can be confusing.
That counts.
Right, so I got that. I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I also got the new volume of the Hip Hop Family Tree book from Ed Pisker.
Is this number 3?
This is number 2.
Oh, I really like the first one. Number 2 is the Rob Liefeld one, right?
I don't know what you're... It has pinups in the back. Is there one by Liefeld? Is that what you
No, I thought that it was done in the Liefeld style or something like that.
I think so.
Nah.
No? Okay.
Oh, there. I guess maybe what you're talking about, there are some parts... If you've seen these books, they're done in this... They're these, like, oversized newsprint pages that are, like, pre-faded and that... Mm-hmm. Four color process, and they're, you know, they're yellowing, and sometimes the registration is off, so they're made to look like old Marvel comics. But in these ones, there are some spots where it takes place in modern times, where he's just like talking, he's interviewing someone, I guess, or something like that. And those ones are done in a more, I would say, like the palette and stuff looks more like Image Comics, maybe.
Okay.
But I don't know what you're talking about, really.
But is it still hip-hop stories?
Yeah, it's the history of hip-hop. It's 1981 through 1983.
Okay, okay.
So I don't know how many he plans to do, but I'm sure there are a few more at least. Yeah, so
I really like those. It's really good. I like the first one a lot. I thought that was really good.
He's going to be at Ape.
Yeah? Is he a nice guy?
He's a really nice guy.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He seems to work pretty hard, though. Yeah. I mean, he put out these... huge books in rapid succession.
Yeah, these kids nowadays, you guys are like super hungry. They're like,
he's been around for a while.
Has he? Yeah. What else has he done?
He did WYSIWYG. He did that computer hacking.
Okay. All right.
Him and Jim Rowe.
I take Tom it back. Scully. I was wrong. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. He was born in 1982, it says.
1982? So he's like that's 30. A child.
30s is in his 30s.
I feel so old now.
All right, okay, let's not
next?
Go that
what's
road.
Next, Joshua?
That's about all I got for now.
Oh, okay. I have a book.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rena, was brought up this guy, and I had never seen his work before. And his name is Tom Sciola?
Sciola, huh?
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. I bought this book called G.I. Joe versus Transformers, or Transformers versus G.I. Joe. And it literally is one of my favorite comics I've ever read. It's so good, and like I don't know who the writer is. I forget his name, but he it like it's drawn and written like if I was a kid and I decided to write a G.I. Joe comic, but I did it well. Like write and drew a G.I. Joe comic, but I did it well. It's just got so much like nostalgia. I really loved it, and I love that a company like IDW would take a chance on something like that. You know what I mean? And I think mainstream. I'm loving that mainstream comics are starting to, like, get a little bit more indie, except for DC. I mean, DC is always going to be just the same, but
gritty.
But Marvel and IDW, I think, and Image are just, like, starting to, like, publish really, like, cutting-edge stuff, and I think it's pretty cool. I love G.I. Joe vs. Transformers so much.
Tom Scioli, did he do that book Godland for Image? I think he did.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, he did. And then he did that...
I'll look on the internet.
American Barbarian.
Yeah, yeah. I think there is a web. There is a website that you can to ask questions, and they will try to answer it for you.
What?
Yeah, it's called Google. They'll try to answer it for you. I think sometimes they're wrong.
That was a sick burn, Tin.
Yeah, sick burn.
So does this book... So Godland is... He has this really heavy-duty Jack Kirby style.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does this have that same style?
Like a 15-year-old drawing Jack Kirby style, which I love. That's why I love it. I mean, if you're just ripping off Jack Kirby, I think it's just like whatever. But it really looks like a 15-year-old kid did Jack Kirby, but like also well. I think it's really good.
He's got love for Jack Kirby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like I saw his stuff in some Image anthology, and then I was like, oh, this guy's interesting. I think most of the people that I like are just the same people that Rob Liefeld likes. I mean, I read Rob Liefeld's Twitter, and he's super into like you know, Tom Scioli, and he loves Ed Piskor and a couple other people. I mean, Rob Liefeld's got some cutting edge taste.
Hard earned too. Do you like Prophet?
Is there a new Prophet? I haven't seen the new Prophet. Is it good?
You mean, what do you mean new?
Well, you know how like they're rebooting some of his old books, like Glory, the new Glory was really good, and I remember the new... Oh, is that... Oh. That is Prophet, the other book that they rebooted is Prophet.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham does it, right?
Right.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I hear it's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I want to check it out. Rena, do you read comics anymore, or are you, like, just busy making Halloween costumes? You can't,
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
No, I don't have new comics.
Nice.
Oh, you know what's a really good book is How to Be Happy by Eleanor Davis. That's so.
Yeah.
If you guys ever run across her at a show or talk to her or anything, let her know.
Okay, you want to come over and talk to her?
Where?
Today.
No. Oh, she's going to be on.
Oh.
Yeah. Wait, did I blow the secret?
No, I was just saying, Josh, wow.
Trying to do a bit. No, I can't, sorry.
Hey, can I give a couple plugs for comics that are Ignatz nominated I really love and I want people to maybe vote for?
Hey, how come Eleanor Davis' book wasn't nominated? That was a
I didn't see it in my box.
Oh.
Yeah.
It might not have been out in time.
Really?
Well,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yes. So here are some books that I really like, some minis that I really like. This guy named Ian Sampson, I've never heard of him before. I he probably comes from one of those colleges, but he did a book called Up in the Sky or Up in the Air. I forgot which one. And it was really good. I just want to tell people that I really liked it. So I want people to vote for that. And of course, my bro, Jin Yang is Jin really Yang? Yeah. Boxes and Saints should get way more wins. I can't believe it really got. I think it really got shafted at the Eisner. So I really hope that it wins an Ignatz. And Demon, I guess. All right, Josh. I guess we're gonna go talk to Eleanor now.
Yeah. No, all right. Yeah, well,
have fun with that, guys.
So we're here with cartoonist and illustrator Eleanor Davis, and we're going to talk about her her book that just came out this year, How to Be Happy, which is in like the New York Times bestseller list for like 4 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Like a big deal, isn't it?
Well, hardback graphic novels. Yeah, it's really exciting.
See?
Yeah.
Oh, she's so like, yeah, that's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, you know, I'm on a bestseller list a lot.
What would be better than that, Eleanor? An Ignatz?
Oh, no, gosh, no, I'm super happy about it. It's awesome. I'm very, very happy about it.
I think in terms of...
Think she wants an Ignatz.
I think in terms of the real world, that is probably one of the best things as a person that writes books
get. I would think you would just drop the mic after that.
Yeah, yeah. No, wait, are you going to... Right? You might win the Pulitzer.
Oh,
you win a Pulitzer. I think that's the only thing that might be better than that.
Yeah.
I think my dream would be being interviewed by Terry Gross. That's my top.
This is not your dream right here? Being interviewed by Tin and
Vanity,
Rena, this
fantasy.
Is not your dream?
People have told me that I sound like Terry Gross, so it's close.
We can ask inane questions like
maybe
Terry
a little
Gross.
Bit.
Hi, Eleanor. How are you doing today?
Oh, okay. Nice. Very throaty.
We can ask stupid questions like Terry Gross does.
Oh.
Zinger.
Okay. Zinger. Does Terry Gross do zingers like that?
I don't know.
Okay. So, Eleanor, how you've been on tour for like the like most of the summer. How has it been going? Is it still going on?
Yeah, sort of. I did a West Coast tour where I hit most of the big cities in the West Coast and then went to San Diego Comic Con. Mm-hmm. And now I'm back home, but then I'm doing, you know, I did some events here in Athens and in Atlanta, and now I'm going up to SDX in New York and stuff.
That's a lot.
Why, I don't understand if you're on the New York Times bestseller list that you would even need to do any more tours. I feel like that's good, right? You're just done. You should be resting at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one of the things that kind of... that we're kind of trying to field right now is that the book, we're nearly out of it.
Yeah.
So we're actually, yeah, we're kind of trying to cancel some events, or we're having to try to reschedule events.
Yeah, you're doing too good a job,
might
bro.
Not have books to sell. Yeah, right. So I'm feeling kind of like I super busted my ass promoting the book, and it seems like maybe I promoted it too hard. I should have dialed it back a little bit.
Are they going to do a sequel because it did so well?
In 7 years, I'll have enough stuff. It took me 7 years to get all the stuff together for this one. That would be sad. And that one's not going to sell at all. It'll be a gigantic flop.
The only people it'll sell to is cartoonists.
My next book...
Cartoonists will be the only people that buys that book. How to be sad.
Yeah, they'll say, ah, yeah, this is what I'm all about. No, my next book is going to be called... What happens next will shock you.
Yeah. Ooh. Click on this link.
Yeah, you click on this because, link.
Yeah. Because with How to Be Happy, I kind of made the title as a joke, but then it turned out to be kind of clickbaity.
Yeah.
People pick it up and they're like, "Why? I want to know how to be happy."
But you don't tell them at all.
It's a really dirty trick.
But you don't tell them at all.
There's not even a little bit.
Yeah. In fact, you get a little. Yeah. You're. It's more like how to be. Sad and
yeah, it's definitely a melancholy book.
And
so
but I think that
to you brought it up a little bit, so I was kind of curious because I honestly don't really know very much about you, which is makes for awesome interviews. Mm-hmm. Because then that means that you're forced to tell me about yourself.
And Eleanor, as a backstory, he doesn't usually research or know any of our guests that we've even like, you know, anybody. So don't.
Yeah, that's please, totally cool.
Don't feel sad.
Yeah, please
about
don't feel
it.
If I haven't listened to your podcast, you guys don't need to know anything about my stuff. So it's
yeah.
Even.
Well, we did. Me and Eleanor did flirt a little bit in a message board on Facebook.
We're not bringing.
No, that
up.
Didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
What? I felt like we were flirting.
There was a miscommunication there.
Oh no! I was so happy. All right, I guess we didn't flirt.
We can edit that out.
No, we're not. Eleanor, so you live with your husband, Drew Wing, who I mm-hmm. just discovered is a very talented person.
What did you discover?
I've never read his comics until I read that Maloof comic. Is it Detective mm-hmm. Maloof?
Wow.
It's called Margot Maloof.
Margot Maloof. See?
Oh, online.
Yeah.
Margot Maloof. M-A-L-O-O.
Maloof. What?
Margot Maloof?
Maloof.
Margot Maloof.
There's no F on the end. I'm only trying to correct you so that people can, you know, Google it.
Oh, yeah. Margot Maloof online. I really loved it. I actually nominated for it Ignatz, but I don't think Drew actually submitted it. So I don't think anyone else got to see it. But I loved it. Loved it a lot. I had no idea. I've never seen Drew's stuff before. That was the first time.
What?
And I thought it was awesome.
Awesome.
And I didn't know that you guys Aww. Were.
You guys do. They do minis. They've been doing minis. They've been in SBX like every year.
Yeah, look who you're talking to. I have no idea. But it was great. And so you guys live together where?
This is confounding to me.
In Athens, Georgia?
Athens, Georgia. Is there much of a community there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's there's a huge music community, and it's a fun for a liberal college town. Mm-hmm. And there's a good number of, you know, small but a good number of cartoonists. There's Joey Weiser. And our friend Patrick Dean,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
A lot of other folks. So
This is
and they
be
have
good.
A they have a mini comics festival called Fluke in the spring. It's a neat, vibrant community and an awesome comic shop called Bizarro Luck Street.
Okay,
Bizarro Luck Street.
Yeah.
Really,
Luck Street.
Mm-hmm. Really funky and cool.
I got a fun fact for you. Mm. I don't own much art in my house. You know, I only own a few pieces. But I happen to own two Eleanor Davis pieces, and I don't even know who you are.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's
weird.
It's awesome.
What pieces are they?
You did a show somewhere where you had like pieces that were just small. They're in small little frames. This one is a girl getting shot by arrows.
Eleanor.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Anyways,
Yeah.
It was like.
Yeah, I remember that piece. Yeah, that was a giant robot show.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. So I have two of them.
Oh, cool.
I
that's
guess
nice, you.
Your art really moved me enough to buy stuff, but not enough to research who you were actually.
It's the worst. It's the worst episode ever.
Why?
It's just horrible. All right, let's go on.
I love this episode.
So far,
this makes me very happy.
But part what Eleanor is amazing about Eleanor is that she's also like a big time illustrator, does stuff in the New York Times, right? And you also do comics, and there, we have some cartoonists that do illustration and comics work, but they always like to, you know, separate the two. But I'm wondering if, you know, if there's any in your process with an illustration that, you know, commingles, I guess, with how you do your comics.
Oh, I think that they I think they inform each other. I think that my illustration work probably makes my comics stronger, I hope. I get worried, you know how sometimes comics, if they're overdrawn, they can get kind of fiddly and stiff. I often think that illustrators don't actually do very good comics for that reason, because they're not focused enough on the storytelling, and they're too focused on making a pretty picture. So I hope that it doesn't, the worry would actually be that it detracts from my comics, but I don't think that that's been too much of a problem. I try to be careful about that. And I think that definitely doing comics is helpful for doing illustration, because, you know, it's so storytelling driven.
Yeah, that really is a good point.
If you had to choose, would you choose comics over illustration?
I don't make any money off of comics at all.
You don't?
What?
So,
it's a bestseller.
Wait, what?
Not yet. I mean, I haven't. You have to put out a lot. I just put this book out.
Yeah.
And then before that, I didn't have anything out for years and years and years and years.
Was your advance like a six-figure advance, something like that? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You don't have to answer that.
Anyway, so with illustration, I don't make very much money, which is weird because, I mean, I feel like I'm doing pretty well, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong that I'm not making more money than I am.
Yeah.
But I am making enough money to get by. And so, I mean, that's like a job. That's my actual career.
But that is
because I love them.
Yeah, but it was a good point about what you brought up about like how a lot of cartoonists that are, they're more illustrators, like in art, you know, it's that it's hard to, you know, you're struggling with like making sure that the story is strong. And I think your work is really strong. It's, you know, story-wise, it's not just visual, it's not just visually appealing.
Thank you.
But do you see yourself as like a writer first, or like, you know, there's some people are like they were illustrators first and now they just discovered comics. So I'm just wondering.
Well, I've always drawn, of course, and I've drawn a lot of comics. I was really into I drew a lot of manga influenced stuff as a teenager, I guess, and then
really,
and then
scan some of those in, please?
Oh, I could totally show. I have lots of very beautiful swimmy-eyed characters, lots of lady warriors, lady ninjas.
That sounds
lady space detectives.
Amazing! That is your next
stuff.
Comic right there, Eleanor. Yeah. Dropped everything you're doing, lady ninja comics.
About to be manga.
I know, right? Except that it would all just be, you know, depressive.
Like,
having midlife crises. Nobody would want to read it. And I'll be very disappointed. But I think that for me and for a lot of other cartoonists who I know, I got really into comics through mini comics and zines, mm-hmm. and you know, John Porcellino and mm-hmm. Kevin Huizenga and all those guys, yeah. Tom Hart, and so much of that stuff was kind of slice of life and autobiographical, mm-hmm. That it almost it didn't feel like writing. You know, when you're writing something autobiographical, it doesn't feel like writing so much as just sort of recording.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or like having a conversation. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that that's kind of how I think about, like, oh, I kind of actually do like make up these stories, but thinking in that way makes me really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I try not to.
Have you ever dabbled into making long stories? I mean, How to Be Good is a collection of How to Be Happy is a collection of How to Be Good is my next book. I forgot about that. How to Be Happy. I'm all confused now. I don't know which book it is. Is a collection of like short stories from that you've done. Have you ever thought of doing a longer story? I mean, because that requires the writing, the big writing aspect, right?
Yeah, I did a graphic novel. It was like 150 pages, called The Secret Science Alliance. For like maybe 6 to 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
The kids comic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that came out in 2009.
Oh.
And yeah, and that was with Bloomsbury Books, and so that was my attempt at actually being a professional cartoonist.
Okay.
And doing it as a career. And it was just so hard,
yeah,
to write a full book length comic, and it was so stressful, you know, trying to do the time management and, you know, getting everything done on this gigantic project, and I got super burnt out. So I guess the answer to that question is no, I don't ever want to do a long story ever again.
Oh, really?
Because I tried it once and it was too difficult.
Yeah. It was also pretty hard when you work with a publisher as well. I mean, you come from a world where you like make mini comics for basically yourself and you have 10 other people, and then you have to like please another person that's like trying to like edit you all the time.
Yeah, and I don't tell the art directors I work with, but I actually don't work very well with other people. So that was another thing that was, yeah, doesn't work well with others type of person. So that was a real struggle with the Secret Science Alliance. I can be kind of a prima donna.
So they would
send over like corrections and changes and stuff, and I would like, you know, throw a fit and, you know, knock a table over, and
yeah,
Drew would have to calm me down and be like, "Good Lord."
Is that true?
You're right, you know.
Is that true? Because that sounds like an amazing story. Just you knocking tables over all the time. It was like, calm down.
No. I knock chairs over. I'm too weak to knock tables over.
Do you find that it's hard to work with art directors when you're doing the illustration jobs then?
Usually not. Okay. It's usually the jobs are fast enough turnaround that the art directors don't have time to, you know, it's they're having to be super fast too. Everybody's having to be super fast. So that makes things easier on me. And most of the art directors I know have been really cool to work with. They've been lucky, I think.
So let's talk about this book. So it's kind of neat to have this podcast, and we don't have to have there's no real pressure to making an amazing podcast because this book is already super successful.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. So we can kind of just,
we don't need to praise or promote you. But
yeah, we can just babble on, and your book is still selling like hotcakes. What do you think equates for how well it's doing? I mean, did you do a lot of press for it? Do you think there was a lot of word of mouth? What do you think makes it? Because I've always wondered what makes a successful book. Like, how would people even discover this book to even pick it up? What do you think it is?
Yeah, I guess I think it's two things. Well, maybe three things. The cover is pretty.
Uh-huh.
The title is I accidentally made a clickbait title without meaning to.
Yeah.
But it, you know, I was at San Diego and I could, it was interesting because people would really be drawn to it and pick it up just because of the title.
Oh, okay.
So I think that helped. And that wasn't even on purpose.
Did Eric Reynolds or Gary Groth have any like input in like the title, or like did they have any part of editing at all the book, or were they just like whatever?
Not really.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I think they. I suggested the title, and they were like, eh, "That's not a very good title.
Not really happy
Maybe we can come up with something better." And then, but then we ran out of time and they were like, okay, fine, fuck it, we'll use that title. And I was like, yes.
And now they're probably really just like, thank God.
Yeah, they're like, thank you, Eleanor. Thank you.
I don't know. That's just my theory is that's how it's worked. And then the other thing that I'm really grateful for and sort of touched by is just the support of, you know, my community.
Okay.
Mostly, you know, most of the folks are on Twitter. I don't know. I feel like I just have a really strong and supportive community that I love a lot.
On
Twitter, which is so strange, but I love it. And they're so, you know, everybody's so good to me, and it feels like a family kind of.
Do you think that, you know, I've talked to my publishers before on like First Second, for example, right now. If you want to, you know, publish with them, one of the important things that they look to is the following that you have on social media. Mm-hmm. Do you think mm-hmm. that the following you have on social media has helped? And how did you gain this amount of support for on Twitter or Tumblr or whatever it is that you have?
Well, Eleanor is an amazing tweeter.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, and that's kind of an odd thing too, is because you know, I write these kind of oddball, melancholy stories that are kind of surrealist, but not, you know, they're mostly melancholy, I think, or that's a big component. Yeah. My Twitter is mostly me talking about, you know, farting in my vagina and getting drunk and stuff that
I'm
hate.
Sold.
So that's how you get, in the short answer, that's how you get a lot of Twitter followers, if you talk about farting and your vagina.
Yeah.
So that's what I recommend.
And
get a vagina and then talk about it.
Go get one tin.
So what is your Twitter handle?
It's Squinky Yellow.
Squinky Yellow.
Yes.
All right. We'll have to link to it.
Squinky Y.
Okay.
I'm a follower.
I'm kind of new to the whole Twitter thing.
What?
I've had a Twitter.
I know. We talked about this.
We did?
A little bit on Facebook, because you're like a Facebook guy, right?
Yeah, I love Facebook, but I'm still
yeah.
Only
see, that's so lame.
Yeah,
Twitter's so much cooler.
I'm a high school teacher,
and Facebook because I connect.
And I ask my students about, oh, are you on Facebook? And they literally look at me like I am like the lamest, oldest person on the face of the earth. They look at me like, Mr. Fam, no one's on Facebook anymore, and I'm just like,
they're all on Tumblr.
They're like, they're really into Instagram and Snapchat right now. That's like their thing. And Vine. You know, things that kind of like quick and disappear very fast. Not even Tumblr.
Yeah,
like,
they're
even done with Tumblr.
I'm too old for that stuff.
Yeah, they're done with Tumblr and Twitter. Like, I'm too old for Twitter and you're too old. You know, it just seems like it's a progression of like social media. But yeah, I just have no idea how to gain followings, and it's I guess, you know, I tell people when people ask me like how to get your art noticed online, and I say, you know, if you're good enough, people will just find you, you know. And do you mm-hmm. think that's the case here, or do you think you actually did a lot of like legwork to get people to follow you and to get people to recognize your artwork on social media?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I didn't. I've always been super lousy with self-promotion.
Yeah.
And I have never actively tried to do much of it, or not as much as I ought to have, I think. And I think I'm just really kind of lucky, which is that I have a instinct to I have an oversharing instinct.
Nice.
I'm sort of an anxious over-communicator, which happens to be really good for Twitter. Mm-hmm. As long as you're not like a dick, Yeah. You know, I don't like yell at people.
Right.
That doesn't seem like a good plan.
It's weird me, because when I read, I'm a very happy guy. So when I read Twitter stuff, I never think anyone's being a dick because I always read it with a tone that it's like
really?
Funny or people are just kidding around. And then later on,
you just sort of sprinkle smileys in there on your own.
Yeah. Like, you know, like just being a goof. Like, you know, I make fun of people, but I'm not being a dick, right? I'm just like...
See, I think it seems like I have the opposite.
Really?
Everyone just seems very ragey on Twitter. And like very, like, kind of stalkerish and nasty.
I always think...
And that's why I'm still on Facebook, because, like, you can choose who to harass and who harasses you. And then Twitter, there's like no heart, like some stranger with an egg hand, you know, egg avatars. Like,
I always think they're like goofing off because I was like, honestly, you can't be mad. What are you? Are you mad that you didn't get into SPX? Did someone really get mad about that? You know, just a stupid convention. How can you really be mad at that? You know. So speaking of SPX, you're going, right?
Yeah,
are you
excited about it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm super excited.
Are you a special guest? Is Eleanor a special guest? Eleanor, are you a special
guest? Yeah, I guess. I think I'm some sort of guest.
Do they fly you out?
They gave me money for transportation. We're driving, and they're paying for my hotel room.
Oh, nice.
So I think I'm a guest. I haven't been on all the lists, so I'm not sure, but I think maybe I'm a guest.
Bro, that's nice, bro.
Doesn't matter if you're a special guest or not. They just give
it
you that
is nice.
Yeah. Oh. Well,
yeah. That's what I
say. So Eleanor, we're talking about crazy cartoonists and stuff. How is it living in being you're married to a cartoonist? You guys are married, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been married 5 years. We've been together for like 12 years.
Oh gosh.
Wow.
No,
How does Drew deal with being the second best cartoonist in his house? I mean, you want to be the best cartoonist in the world.
I think with that laugh, she believes that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's tough for dudes. You know, I did this for a long time where you walk around thinking, oh, I'm a really good cartoonist, and then you're like, no, I'm not. I'm not even the best cartoonist in my house. How can I be a good cartoonist?
I think it's good for both of us. We're both competitive, but. Not too competitive. And I think that, like, when I first started dating, Drew has a decent ego.
Uh-huh.
And when we first started dating,
hello?
Oh, man.
Oh.
I can't even remember how it came up, but he sort of offhandedly said, like, he was like, oh, well, you're not as good as me yet, but maybe someday. So I figure that after being that much of a chode so early on in the competition,
put you in your place there.
So you do think you're better than Drew, right?
You think you are now,
I don't. We're very luckily we do relatively different stuff.
But you do think you're better than Drew, right?
I don't.
Oh.
No, like for instance, so the Secret Science Alliance is a kids thing.
Yeah, yeah.
For about the same age group as Margo.
Yeah.
Drew's current project.
Margo Maloof.
And Margo is Margo Maloof. No F on it. And Margo is like just a much. It's like a next level.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really, really good kids comic. Very, very strong. So that's really exciting. And then, we just do really different work.
If you don't mind me asking,
I do much better. I do much better comics than him that are about like
sadness,
moody women that weep a lot.
Yeah, sadness.
But who's better at drawing cars?
Yeah,
cars is always the thing. Who's better at drawing the cars?
That's probably true.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so Eleanor, if you don't mind me asking, could you tell me how you and Drew started dating?
Oh yeah. So I went to Savannah College of Art. We both went to Savannah College of Art and Design.
Okay.
And
SVA, as people could say.
Art.
SVA.
Actually, SCAD.
Oh, okay. My bad. That's terrible. All right.
What do you teach?
Yeah, I know exactly. Yikes. Oh, it's definitely not podcasting.
SVA also offers a comics class, so maybe that's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Drew went to SCAD. He graduated before I started going there. Mm-hmm. I had been in high school. I was super into mini comics and alternative comics. And I thought that there would be a lot of people who are into those sorts of comics at SCAD. And then when I showed up, it was, of course, I don't know what I was thinking, but it was almost entirely like
bros,
mainstream kids and anime and manga kids, which was awesome, but there wasn't anybody there that was like, there were very few people there that were into the kind of comics that I was into.
Uh-huh.
And at our local comic book shop, I found a single mini comic by Drew.
Okay.
And I didn't know who he was. And I thought, I'm going to make this guy be my boyfriend.
Yikes, bro.
So I sought out somebody who knew him. And made that person.
Wait, did you know what he looked like?
Nope.
That's crazy, bro.
Nope.
That is crazy, yep. Crazy, bro.
Oh, that's.
Yeah. Then we started dating. I made him date me, and then I made him marry me.
I bet you he was just like, "Oh my god, oh my god," like super excited that like a girl would. Because really, I tell you that most guys get into drawing mini comics for like hoping to hook up with chicks, and. I can't believe it worked in this instance, which is the craziest thing I've ever heard. You probably have just inspired a whole generation of dude cartoonists just by telling that story. That's crazy.
Maybe if they don't meet me.
What did you say, Eleanor?
Oh, if anybody who hasn't met me might be inspired. In real life, I'm pretty intimidating.
So
I think that Drew is pleased. Drew loves me.
Uh-huh.
But I think that being wooed by me was probably a little intense.
Like super scary.
Were you stalking? It was like borderline stalkerish or anything?
No. No, I was just bossy.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about your the actual like art and stuff like that. Yeah. when you do your comic, you want to ask questions? Because I feel like I'm asking all the questions here.
I'm trying to come up with inappropriate questions to match your questions. Because now I feel like the nerdy guy, like, I want to talk more about, you know, your color work and your influences.
You're Terry Gross.
And your influences. And
yeah,
how...
I was just thinking.
Okay.
Well, is your influence, you know, in your illustrations and your comic work, I kind of feel like a lot of it is, like, from printmaking, from, like, woodblock prints. I mean, what do you think your style and your influence comes from? I mean, the influence on your work. Do you see that in your own work?
Yeah, I guess that I've been doing a lot of my digital stuff is because I think that what you're talking about is my digital work, and
I don't know. That, it doesn't look like digital.
I think
to me.
It comes out
very natural.
Yeah, well, it is digital, and I think one of the reasons it looks like woodblock is because I don't particularly like stuff that looks digital, but I also don't really like digital stuff that's kind of like fake traditional.
Right. Because there's a lot of layers on it, you know.
I've sort of developed this process of sort of like a combination of drawing on different colored layers and then sort of carving away at the drawings and it has kind of a traditional result but without kind of like the faux, you know, there's no texture or anything, it's very flat. I'm also kind of obsessed with flat areas of color.
Wait, are you saying that that like your comics in that book that look like watercolor is not watercolor?
Some of them are watercolor.
The first comic is
digital.
The main, you know, the story with Adam and Eve, or That weird place. Is that digital?
Yeah, that's totally digital.
That's crazy because it doesn't look digital at all. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a thanks. It's just kind of a process.
People work all, like a long time to make their work, the digital work, not look digital, and that's pretty amazing.
Well, I'm just curious. How you do that? Is it through the way?
She's not gonna tell you the secret.
Well, we're not gonna do it as good as her.
But she's not gonna be like, "What can I do like this?"
Art is not in a vacuum.
No, it's easy. It's easy. It's a thing that I feel kind of sheepish talking about because it's kind of a hip style right now. There's a lot of folks that are doing it. No, just that, and among illustrators, there's a lot of illustrators that are doing that process that are a lot better than me, that do a very similar thing. There's a illustrator called Flex.
Bolex?
That's fake. That's not
a real
person.
Guy? I don't know how to pronounce it.
We're not talking about him, though. So.
Yeah. And then there's another woman named Juhi Yoon who's amazing.
I don't think they're as good as you are. No, I think you're the better one.
No, let's just talk about your process though, because I don't. Yeah, no.
So.
Sure. Well, there's different layers in Photoshop, and you make the layers transparent, and each layer is a different color.
But how do you do? Do you do it through paths, or do you draw them through the Wacom, or how do you create those?
I actually have a Cintiq, one of the big screens that you draw on. But you don't have to have. Also, use just like a normal. A lot when I'm at home. I mean, when I'm traveling or I'm visiting my folks, I just have a regular travel tablet.
And that works. So you're drawing those shapes and those flat, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm drawing entirely digitally.
Wow.
So you're.
Because those look like cutouts, like you know how Matisse did those. Matisse does cutouts. Okay, forget it.
So your black and white
different audience, I guess.
So your black and white pieces are digital as well? The ones that look really inky?
No.
Oh, okay.
Those are ink.
Yeah, she mixes it up.
I do a lot of different stuff.
She's like a wonderful.
And then I mean some of the pieces are watercolor and gouache and I do a lot of stuff in ink, a lot of stuff in watercolor and gouache.
Your approach to something that you, for example, do for an illustration, is that different than your approach when you go about doing comics? Do you like come at it with the same thinking, or is there a different thought process when you get into it?
That's an interesting question. I think that with illustration, I really, really, really like illustration. But it's a lot. It's more like solving a puzzle, like doing a crossword or something. So it's fun to feel clever and fun to kind of, you know, it's like just a problem to solve.
Okay.
Whereas with comics, it's more kind of, plumbing your inner depths or whatever. But there is a similar sort of kind of seeking around until usually either with a comic or an illustration at a certain point, like I'll get an idea that I kind of feel so excited about that I kind of feel like I fell in love with it a little bit. Like I'll get kind of like, you know, my heart will get kind of racy and then I'm like, oh, that's it. That's the right idea.
Yeah. I love that feeling. Same, I think that's
no matter
a...
what I'm doing. Right?
That's the best feeling in the world.
But is it always at the end, you know, like when you just finish something else and all of a sudden you come up with a new idea and that's the best one? It always happens with me.
Usually not.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. Are you the person that used to make mini comics with like really crazy covers? Like you would like cut the covers like crazy, like along a girl's face or something like that?
Yeah.
Was that you?
Yeah. I mean, there are lots of people who do that. I was one of those people.
That's crazy. Yeah. I remember those comics. Yeah. It was so good.
Oh, my God.
I had no idea that was you.
There are a lot of mini comics like that.
No, but you were like one of the very first ones that did that.
Yeah, Drew and...
all these people copied you. That's amazing.
No, they didn't.
I remember loving those comics when they came out like years ago. I know Eleanor Davis. Oh, now I feel like I'm...
Should we do this interview all over again now?
Okay. I love your mini comics. So anyways, the great Eleanor Davis.
Man, that stuff was stuff I did in college.
That was super good.
Yeah, I know. It's my best work.
Yeah,
everybody
I know.
Always tells me.
It totally is. Like,
depressing.
You know, Eleanor, sometimes I look at
God
stuff.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, sometimes.
No, but you're still doing good work.
So let's talk a little bit about, like, this is my favorite part of the podcast, okay. And we're getting towards the end. So I wanted to talk to you, is the day in the life of Eleanor Davis. Mm-hmm. Are you ready, Eleanor? Are you ready? Tell me you're ready.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what we're doing.
We're doing a day in the life of Eleanor Davis. All right. So you wake up. What time is it?
6 in the morning.
6 in the morning. Why?
I'm a morning person.
Okay, that's good. Oh, okay. Is Drew a morning person, or is it annoying to him? Oh, okay.
No, he wakes up at like 11 o'clock.
Okay, so 6 in the morning. What do you do at 6 o'clock in the morning?
I try to usually I either do some yoga or I lift weights.
Okay.
And then I eat breakfast, and then I get right to work.
And so that's probably what, like 8 o'clock. You're working.
I try to get to work by 7.
Okay, so 7, and then this is drawing, and this is like illustration and comic work.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're working from home.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait, do you have like a studio, or do you just work on the coffee table?
Yeah, I have a studio.
Okay, so then you work from 8 o'clock till when?
Probably around 11 or 12.
Oh, that's it. Okay. And then what do you do after that? Then you have just a whole day to just chill out?
No, I mean, then I go back to work. Who stops working at lunch?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. All right. So at lunchtime, you have lunch, and you guys usually just like make something at home, or do you guys like to go out? What is your day like?
No. I just make something at home. And usually by the time that by lunchtime, that's when Drew's waking up. When I'm eating lunch, I'm like making Drew coffee, and he's staggering out.
All right. Do you and Drew work in the same studio, or do you guys have different studios so you don't have to bother each other?
No, he has an outside studio.
Oh.
We used to have the same studio, but I talk way too fucking much, and it drove both of us up the wall.
It didn't drive you up the wall. All right, so then
I know it did. I couldn't stop talking, so I couldn't concentrate.
To Drew or just in just like out just talking?
No, to Drew. If I'm in the same room as somebody, I get really I can't just be quiet with another person there.
I know how you feel. All right, so then
I figured you probably did.
so then you have lunch.
I feel like Drew right now.
And then you go you get to work again, and then how long do you work till? When's quitting time?
It depends on the project. I start working really, really badly at around 2 or 3.
Okay.
And all my drawings start getting really bad, and I start getting really depressed. And so if I can knock off at around then, that's ideal.
Okay.
But sometimes I just have to work all the way through it.
You have to just power through? Okay.
Sometimes.
So then,
not if I can help it.
So then, say you knock off at 2 or 3, then what do you do? Do you just have the rest of the day to just chill out? This is when you like.
I tend to do some chores, talk on the phone. I try to, when I'm doing well, I bicycle a lot. I bicycle for a couple hours, and I come home and we make dinner together, and then I go to bed.
Wow, that's a cute little life. What time do you usually go to bed?
No, it's very cute.
Yeah, it's adorable. Fun. What time do you guys usually go to bed?
I know.
Like 9, 10?
Drew comes to bed at like 4.
Okay, so he's still working after you go to bed.
Yeah. He's a night guy.
Is that become any type of a problem that he basically goes to, he basically goes to bed when you wake up.
Yeah.
So does that ever, does that ever cause problems, or is that pretty good because you guys stay out of each other's way?
It's good. It's mostly good. Sometimes it's kind of a little bit hard. This morning I woke up at 4 because I was anxious about getting some work done. Uh-huh. And Drew was working really hard, so he was going to bed at 4. And that really bummed him out. He didn't like me to be waking up when he was going to bed.
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of a bummer. So the things
it's like
that are
the sun and the moon.
Yeah. The things that are stressing you out that you have to get to work, are these like illustration jobs that you have to like get in? Or are these like comics that you're stressed out about the story that you're doing or something?
No, just illustration stuff.
Oh, okay. Wow. That seems stressful.
Yeah.
I never want to have to work that hard at art.
No, it's fun. It's nice.
Yeah.
Well, you can.
Once you're done, you're done. It's over.
Cool. So what's coming up for Eleanor Davis? Any besides like this tour and going to different places? Are you having anything planned coming out? Is there any illustrations that you're particularly proud of that we can take a look at? What's the future Eleanor Davis like?
Let's see. Well, illustration stuff is always all over the map. I'm hopefully gonna. Me and Drew are working on another book for Toon Books.
Okay.
Easy Reader book with them a long time ago called Stinky, and we're going to do another book with them, hopefully, about a dog who becomes famous on the internet.
Cool.
And I'm also working on a book, a historical murder mystery, young adult historical murder mystery with my mom.
Yikes.
She's writing it with me. She's a history teacher, and so that's going to be awesome, but I'm incredibly slow, so it's going to not come out for a long time. And then I really like to be able to do more short stories. I'm kind of thinking of making mini comics again, just to have something to motivate me to try to get something out once a year, because I really like having this book out. Having this book out is so fun.
Yeah, totally.
And I really, really want to make more book, more comics, so that I can put out another book.
Hopefully, you're on track to making another book soon, right? Because or at least another cool mini where you cut like you spend 4 hours cutting the cover.
No, I'm never doing that ever again.
Did you get carpal tunnel from cutting that?
Ridiculous waste of time. That doing those types of mini comics. For me, at least, was I almost feel like it was a form of like self. It was like self harm.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you know, so many hours clocked. Like anybody who has any self respect would have said, like, "No, I'm not scissoring out these faces anymore."
And I like how you probably inspired a whole set of like cartoonists to do die cut and stuff, and the people before were like, we were just doing black and white, photocopy, and now we gotta do die cut. Thanks a lot, Eleanor. And now
I know.
Like, no.
What a mistake. It's a real ridiculous thing to do to yourself.
Yeah.
Well, before we go, we like to ask people like what books they're reading and what they can recommend for the rest of the people to read. Is there any plugs that you want to make for people like that you like, or people that you know, or that books that you like? What's inspiring you lately? It doesn't have to be books. It could be TV shows,
podcasts,
Dancing with the Stars, football, whatever it is.
I just saw a movie that I really like called Barbara.
Uh-huh.
It's German. I highly recommend it. It's extremely slow. It's about a lady doctor in East Germany in 1980.
Oh, that sounds stressful already.
It's very good. Let's see, what else? My friend Chris Wright, who did a comic a couple years back with Fantagraphics books.
I like Chris Wright's
called
stuff
Black
a lot.
Lung.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's working on another comic, and he let me see a sneak peek of the first 15 pages, and that's called The Red Watch, and it's amazing. So those are. Oh, and I really liked Jillian and Marco Tamaki's This One Summer.
One Crazy Summer.
Yeah, I really, really recommend that.
Yeah, I really like that book as well. And I like also, since Eleanor didn't do it, I'd like to plug the webcomic, The Adventures of Margot Malou. It's really amazing.
It's super good. Yeah, please read it. That's an all ages webcomic about a young girl who's a monster mediator.
Makes
kids and monsters have to learn how to get along.
I was knocked out by how good it was. Mm-hmm. So.
It's super good.
I usually hate webcomics, and I usually don't like to admit that there's something out there that's super good, but it is super good. And Eleanor Davis
is super good.
Yeah, you are super good. I guess I loved your comics all my life,
and I didn't even know it.
It's such a discovery for me right now. Now for sure I'm going to... Now I'm going to read that book. That one, How to Be Good. I'm going to love it. Eleanor, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. I'm sorry that I'm...
Thank you guys so much.
I'm sorry I'm such a terrible podcaster. Yeah. But, but thank you so much.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you guys so much.
I mean, it was like, all right. I
feel like we're back. All right. Like,
I think we did okay.
Like, I honestly felt like the first
I
one.
I appreciate Eleanor for putting up with that whole thing.
What do you mean? Well,
the end there where you finally realized who she was, and now you just said that you didn't read her book. I appreciate her understanding.
I wonder if she knows that you read the book, though. I mean, maybe she thought that
both of us... I did read the book.
I know, but maybe she thought, like, both of us didn't read the book.
And Eleanor,
like,
I read the book. And I also knew that you did mini-comics.
I knew that she did mini-comics. I didn't know she did the ones where she cut the people out, though.
She cut the people
out. She's, like, the forefront of cutting people out technology.
She's amazing.
Like, everybody that's cutting things out, you have her to thank because you are stealing her idea.
Yeah, you guys really pissed me off because then I had to do, like...
You cut something?
No, I didn't want... I was...
Yeah, I did something else.
No, I did the GoCo thing. That's where I went too far.
GoCo's nothing. It's not like cutting things out. Anyways, I felt like the first episode, even though Aaron was really good, I felt like we didn't do that well. But I feel like now, I feel like we're getting back, and we still got another five shows for the season.
But also, from this interview, I'm very excited about comics again. Like, I'm excited about mini comic making, and you know, Eleanor's just a very inspiring person.
No, I didn't
get that.
Just the
things that she draw, like her drawing's amazing. And I didn't get a chance to play all that.
Yeah, I didn't get that. But it was super fun talking to her. And we'll be back.
And Twitter's amazing now.
In 2 weeks.
I love Twitter now. Coming
back. Oh, yeah, we got to put her Twitter handle on the...
No, she has a lot of followers.
I don't even know what it is. She said it was like squinty.
Squinty yellow.
Squinty yellow, you guys.
This podcast is all about you, Eleanor.
Yeah. Anyways, so we'll be back in 2 weeks.
In a month. Yeah, every month we're going to do it. Every month. 2 weeks.
We'll be back next week.
All right.
Bye, buddy.
Tomorrow. Bye, buddy.